Intervju Radija Študent.
Pozdravljeni v terminu za Ereš intervju, v katerem bomo tokrat slišali posnetek pogovora s Tomasom Stronenom. Skupaj z Ianom Bellamyjem bo pod imenom Food danes večer namreč nastopil v klubu Cankarjevega doma. Ujeli pa smo ga pred nekaj trenutki še na poti v Ljubljano. V svojem 15-letnem obstoju se je nekoč kvartet, danes dvojec, prikupil tako ljubiteljem bolj konvencionalnega kot tudi zahtevnejšega džeza. Kaj je tisto, zaradi česar z Bellamyjem že tako dolgo uspešno sodelujeta, pa Stronen pojasni v pogovoru.
At the moment you are on your way to Ljubljana, how's the trip going? Is the guy who picked you up driving safely?
He's driving very safely, yes, absolutely. We're very much looking forward to come to Ljubljana. Mm-hmm. I've never played here before. I've never been to Slovenia before, actually. So oh. I find this very exciting. Mm-hmm. I heard so much good about your.
Yeah, from your Norwegian colleagues, we get to see them quite often, I think.
Yes, there's been many Norwegians there, and you know I'm very much into skiing as well. So I'm just very sorry I didn't come earlier and brought my skis.
Right. So maybe can you tell us a bit about your background? How did you and Ian first meet?
Well, you know, the band Food goes back to 1998. So we've been playing for many, many years.
Like 15 years, yeah.
Yes, and we've done 7 records. And we've just done the number 8 now, which is being released on ECM in fall this year. Mm-hmm. And it started out when I was studying at the Jazz Academy in Trondheim in the middle of Norway. Mm-hmm. And I actually went to London to visit a friend, and my friend's girlfriend knew Ian Bellamy's wife's sister. Uh-huh. That's complicated.
Yeah.
But anyway, my friend, he put me in contact with Ian, and he said, you know, I think you guys should meet. And I went to London, and I visited Ian, and I played him some music, and he played me some music. Mm-hmm. And we just had a very nice time together, both socially, and we thought it would be nice to do something together.
Right.
And a bit later, I just had this thought that I could ask a very nice bass player called Mats Eilertsen, who plays in the Tore Gustavsen ensemble amongst other bands. And I also asked Arve Henriksen to join. Mm-hmm. And together as a quartet, we got our first assignment to the Molde Jazz Festival in Norway. And that concert went really well, and luckily we recorded it, and it became our first record as a live record. Mm-hmm. And after that we did 4 records as a quartet, and right. Then we decided to go on as a duo, just because all of us were really busy with loads of projects, and we thought it'd be easier to run a band just as a duo. And the last 3 records has been with us as a duo, and then inviting different guests into the band. So sometimes we play just Ian and me with the electronics, and other times we invite musicians like Nils-Petter Molvær, or Austrian guitarist Christian Fennes. Mm-hmm. Or Ivan Orset. So we have different guests sometimes at some concert.
Right. You know, one of you lives in UK, Ian lives in UK, and you live in Norway. And judging on your long history, you said you've been together for 15 years.
Yes.
It seems to be working well for you. So how do you decide when it's time for a new Food tour or a new album?
Well, it's what we've started doing the last few years is actually to meet 2 or 3 times a year. We set off maybe 4 or 5 days, and we meet either in London or in Oslo. And we just rehearse for hours and play together a lot. And then we also talk about what we'd like to do. And sometimes we get offers to to do a concert at a festival or a club. And once we played one concert, we always think it's nice to try to book something around that. Mm-hmm. So this year, for example, after we've been in Slovenia, we're going to Japan. Oh. And we were asked to do a couple of concerts there. And then when other people heard that we're coming to Japan, other promoters got interested. So now we're doing 7 concerts in Japan.
Nice.
And every concert is, the sound is done by our sound technician. And he records every concert we do. Mm-hmm. And once in a while, we listen through all the material, which is a lot of material. It's hours and hours of music.
Right.
And sometimes we find out that this music is really strong and this has maybe a new approach. And then we pick it out and we mix it. And like with the coming CD that we just been mixing now, it's got a couple of tracks from Cheltenham in England, and it's got a couple of tracks from a club in Oslo, and it's got one track from Mannheim in Germany, and it's got 4 tracks from studio. So it's just a mixture from different places.
Right. You mentioned a tour in Japan or 7 concerts in Japan.
Yes.
And I remember reading that at some point you were quite inspired by traditional Japanese music. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. I have been very interested in Japanese music for many, many years. And I think it has done something to my approach of music. I've been listening to both koto and vocal music, and also the Japanese traditional drum ensembles, and I think it seems like they have very clear ideas when they play, and they have this sort of philosophy: if the beat or if the note you're playing doesn't have the ability to change the music, then you shouldn't play it.
Right.
And I think in loads of jazz music, I think people play way too much. I think there's too much information going on. So I'm trying to be a bit more strict about what I play, and try to be quite clear with my ideas. And and I also like the directness and the sound of the Japanese music. So, and I think it's also great to tour in Japan. They're great people.
Right. So maybe one question related to this, you talking about what you like about Japanese music.
Yes.
In what way is food different, or how can it relate to this idea? For example, from your other projects and collaborations, from the musician's standpoint, points of view, what do you get in food that you don't get in other projects as a musician?
I think what makes food different in many perspectives is that it's a free improvising group. We have no compositions at all. And even though it's all free improvised, it sounds very composed.
Right.
So when we improvise, we think about form, structure, and texture, and sound. And I think that when people hear us live, I think they feel they're listening to more or less composed music. And it's quite filmatic. You know, it's got loads of visuals in the way we play. And we also use time a lot. That we let the music develop quite slowly. And we let ideas live by spending time to develop it, listen to it, and interact. So I think, and to me, to play in a band like Food, I think it's great to play with musicians like Ian, and sometimes when we have Christian Fennes or Nils-Petter Molva, they're so open-minded, and the music can take new directions, and aim for new angles all the time. So even though we've done four concerts on a tour, the fifth might be completely different.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned already that initially Food was a four-piece band, and after Arve and Mats left Food in 2006, it was just you and Ian with occasional collaborations. You know, I heard before the interview, I think when a colleague was talking to a driver, that there's three of you. Is maybe three musicians or maybe one manager?
Yes, we always bring our sound engineer.
Oh, right.
So our sound engineer, which is Simon Skarning, he's always with us on tour. And that's just because there's so much things going on stage. As I'm playing drums and I also do live sampling and loads of electronics, and Ian is playing saxophone and also doing loads of live treatments.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not easy to know where all the sounds come from. So it feels very nice for us to have a sound engineer who knows what's going on stage and can easily control the sound and predict a bit of what's happening. And it makes us more comfortable on improvising and taking bigger risks and chances by knowing that the sound is the way we want to sound.
Right.
The actual sound of the band is quite important.
Mm-hmm. As you said, you incorporate live electronics when you play live. You know, and I think you said that you studied in Tromsø.
In Trondheim, yeah.
Oh, Trondheim, sorry.
Yes.
So I'm not sure, is it Trondheim or Tromsø that has a really strong electronic music scene, like lots of people doing ambiental electronica?
Yes, in Tromsø it's a very strong electronic scene, actually. But I was studying in Trondheim.
Uh-huh. And when did you decide, or why did you decide to pick up electronics?
You know, I didn't have any plans of using electronic devices live at all. So I was doing it because I was a bit tired of practicing drums in the same way all the time. Because I was quite disciplined when I was studying, and I was at school at 7 every morning and rehearsing for many, many hours. And at some stage, I just got very tired of doing the same things on the drums and hearing the same sounds. Yeah. So it was actually Arve Henriksen who suggested I should buy a sampler and try to play through the sampler and just use that as a rehearsing tool.
Mm-hmm.
So I put on delays and echoes and pitch and all that. And after a while, I got quite confident on using it, and I thought I might just take it to a concert and see if I can expand my way of playing drums and you know, make a bigger world of sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And from then on, it just developed.
Right. I know that Arve is using lots of electronics in his music. Did he inspire you or encourage you to pick up electronics while he was still in Food, or did that happen later?
It happened when we started in Food, and he was definitely the guy who inspired me and sort of challenged me to do it. So I think without Arve, I wouldn't have done that. It's mm-hmm. his fault, probably.
Right. I read about some musicians and composers that have inspired you along the way, you know, and there's lots of people lots of people coming from different musical backgrounds. So maybe a question, who was the last one you were excited about? Did you hear anything really nice lately? Some album that stuck in your mind?
Oh, that's a difficult question.
Lots of music to think about.
There's so many things I've been inspired by. And, you know, the more you listen to music, the harder it gets to be really enthusiastic and inspired, because you've heard already so much. So, I mean, the things that I really admire, they go long back, like Johann Sebastian Bach, for example, which is something I think is fantastic to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of classical music, and also Arvo Pärt, which I think is
great composer.
Great composer. And I should really have a good answer to that. What's inspired me lately? I must say I listen to music in different ways, because sometimes you just want to relax and have something that's nice to listen to, and it might be more popish or more straight ahead.
Right.
And in other times you like something really challenging.
Right. So maybe if I put the question differently, do you remember the last artist or album that Ian introduced you to?
Maybe
the last album or the last artist that Ian introduced you to?
You know, the last album Ian introduced me for was, I've been listening to a lot of Arvo Pärt music, Arvo Pärt.
Uh-huh.
And he brought me Tabala Rasa, is that what it's called?
I think so.
Tabala Rasa, I think. Which is a fantastic record, and which is an older record, and I hadn't heard that.
Mm-hmm. Are your musical preferences with Ian outside of food similar?
You know, we listen to very different music normally. There's, we have some similarities.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think he's listening to a bit of other stuff. I probably like things more challenging. I like to listen to a lot of minimalist music and also more noisy electronic music and also beat music.
Right.
While Ian is not that concerned about pop music and things like that, which I can really enjoy.
Mm-hmm. So maybe that's one of the reasons that that you two have stayed together for such a long time.
Yes, I think so. We have different approaches and different meanings, but still a great respect for each other.
Mm-hmm. You released albums through at least two big jazz labels like ECM. You said the new one is going to be released through ECM as well.
Yes.
And also Rune Gramophone. So
yeah.
What are your experiences with them? Is there a big difference in your relation to one or another and how they run things?
They are different. Of course, ECM is a much bigger label.
Right.
And it's got more power to it. It's got a longer tradition. It's got a big staff to work on the releases. And, there's loads of people around the world buying ECM records just because of the label.
Mm-hmm.
While Rune is a bit more underground, so to say. But still, the similarities is it's loads of great quality music. And they're both concerned about not only the music, but also, the design of the records as well. Mm. ECM puts out many records. They've done more than 2,000 records, while Rune has done some over hundreds. But in general, I would say that Rune is more towards electronic music and some beat music, while ECM has got
some traditional stuff on Rune Gramophone as well, I think.
Yeah, there's some traditional there as well, that's true.
Mm.
I think to us we made a change from Rune to ECM because we saw that the band is going into a new direction, and I've never thought about, after I released my record Parish on ECM, mm-hmm. I never thought about any records that could fit the label, and I never approached Manfred, Aisha, any other music. And then when we did the Quiet Inlet record, I thought this is going in another direction for the band, and just to make it very clear, it would be nice to change this to another label, and I thought that ECM would really fit for this kind of music. And when I sent it to Manfred, he replied the day after that he wanted the record, and he was also convinced that it was the right move.
Mm-hmm. as you said, you're now on ECM, not on Rune Gramophone anymore, mm-hmm. but maybe just one question regarding Rune Gramophone. In the past, like even 3 years ago, we heard a lot about music coming out from Rune Gramophone, and it was really exciting and stuff, but recently it seems I don't know, are they still in business like they were like 5 years ago, or Do you follow any of the stuff that's being released nowadays?
They're still in business, but I think it's been harder for them to do the same work as they used to do. Because, I mean, literally, Rune Grammofon is just run by one person, who's called Rune Kristoffersen. And he's got a, you know, extremely big interest in music and in promoting great music to people. But still, as a small label and the numbers of records being sold getting worse and worse, it's really difficult for him to survive. And it's, you know, he's dependent on selling records, and I think he needs to consider that. He needs to think about not only releasing great music, but he has to, you know, have a certain guarantee that he would sell some and that he don't end up losing money. Right. Well, I think ECM, they can just go on. They have artists who are selling still loads of records, and it's easier for them to take a chance on smaller groups which they just really love without them selling loads of records.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, I mean, we feel extremely fortunate that the last Food record sold actually 7,000 copies, which is quite a lot in these days, playing this kind of music.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Maybe we just have time for two short questions. You said that you are releasing a new Food album in autumn, I think. Was it in fall? Or?
Yes.
Was this just you two, you and Dila, Ian, or were you collaborating with some other artists?
No, this new record will be mostly, it will be trio with Christian Fennes and Ian and myself.
Uh-huh.
And on some of the tracks, it will be featuring Eivind Aarseth on guitar, and also an Indian slide guitar player and singer called Prakash Sontakke. Mm-hmm. This is a South Indian Carnatic music traditional musician who's fantastic.
Sounds interesting, eh?
Yeah.
So maybe just one last question. Do you have any plans for tonight's gig? You just plan to go on stage and start playing what it feels right, or?
We have one plan, and that is to make great music.
Excellent.
That's all. And we never plan anything, but I'm sure it will be an exciting evening, and we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're looking to it as well. So thank you very much for taking the time, and have a, you know, safe drive, what's left of it, to Ljubljana.
And thank you very much, and thanks for giving us the opportunity to talk on radio.
Slišali smo pogovor s Tomasom Stronenom, polovico džezovskega dvojca Food, ki danes večer nastopi v klubu Cankarjevega doma, z njim pa se je pogovarjal Goran.
Intervju Radija Študent.